This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. It's Tuesday. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm here with Andrew in St. Louis in our newishly decorated studio. Besties are sending in things. I'm hanging these things. Noah is in Arizona. Noah, I just want to update you about some things I just put up between yesterday's episode and today's. I got some canvases with Taylor Swift like string art that are beautiful, and they were made for me by, let me pull up her name, Olivia Kabelin, K-A-B-E-L-I-N. Thank you so much for those. We also had someone made.
Olivia made my Buzzy painting also.
Oh, okay, she created. Did? Yes, so good. Thanks, really Olivia. Beautiful. If you need something to decorate your place with, Olivia Kabelin, support a bestie, K-A-B-E-L-I-N. And then also Swellapalooza. We have the poster that someone made that we posted on our Instagram forever ago. I got it printed up. And will you read who's that by? It's on the pink part on the bottom.
Alex Moss.
Thank you so much.
M-A-U-S-S.com.
Yeah, Alex Moss Design.
No, just AlexMoss.com.
Okay, great graphic artist. Thank you so much for that. And keep sending us stuff.
And
we
also
love
have
it.
A Stitched by Candace right there. The stitch.
Stitched by Candace.
Oh, down there.
The light blue
down
stitching.
There. Down there, there.
Oh, the Stitch by Candace. Oh. Yes, that says all the swells. Stitched by Canvas. Love Candace so much. Love it. So it's Tuesday. I mean, it's Monday to us. I'm going to New York for this week to do a quick jaunt over there. I'm going to be at the Comedy Cellar on Tuesday night if you guys want to come see me. I'm not listed, but I'm at the Village Underground. You can just DM me if you want to come by those shows and ask which ones. Schedule is heating up. We are going to be in Canada on tour. We're going to be on tour so many damn places. Check it out at NikkiGlaser.com. Really want to have besties come out, and we're going to be selling merch. There's going to be new merch for sale. There is a merch for sale now at podshop.NikkiGlaser.com, and that's all like the stuff I wanted to get And Puddles, the new podcast, is out. Andrew has a podcast that comes out every Wednesday.
Yeah, we got this Wednesday, Caitlin Bristow from... She actually won Dancing with the Stars.
She won Dancing with the Stars. Tell the folks what you did.
Oh, I go, Nikki talks about getting first voted off. How does it feel to be able to just say the beginning of that sentence?
It's pretty
shots
good.
Fired.
I like shots fired.
I mean, she said it was the hardest thing she's ever done in her life.
Yeah.
I mean, you said it was the hardest thing, and 10 weeks in, I mean, I don't know how.
Yeah.
She doesn't know how she did
well,
it. She's.
I actually reference it. I reference it all the time. It's one of the things I'm most proud of. Like, saying that you got first voted off is just hilarious, and I'm grateful for it. But at the time, it was just, devastating, and I've talked about it ad nauseum. But this weekend, I got to do the greatest thing that I've ever done, and I just want to talk about it a little bit. I had a crazy week last week.
Well, let's talk.
So I flew to L.A. on Wednesday because I had an audition on Thursday for a movie that just came out of the blue, and it was screen testing for. And I don't even know if I've gotten it or not yet. I probably shouldn't talk about it yet. But
no, you got it. I just found it. What's that?
I just got it.
Oh, she's the lead?
It would be insane if I got it.
Wow. Martha Stewart died?
It's a really big role in a really big movie. My audition was with Francis Ford Coppola. And I...
Who I thought was Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
Because I thought that...
Andrew was like, she's amazing. Or he's amazing.
No, I said she's amazing.
She's amazing. Yes. So he thought it was Sofia Coppola, his daughter.
But Frances is a girl name.
It
now.
Is a girl name. You're right. No, well, I think it always has been. Yeah. But
so
I
yeah. So you get this audition.
Went there for that. I got in on Wednesday night. I went to dinner with Spade and Tim Dillon and Ben Avery, Tim's producer. It was really a fun dinner. I didn't know Tim and Ben were going to be there. We had so much fun.
But how do you feel even way before? Like let's.
Rewind.
You don't really go on that many. Auditions as a
I don't go on any anymore
any,
because
yeah.
I just don't do well in auditions. I'm really good at getting up in front of thousands of people, but it's a waste of my time memorizing lines, hiring an acting coach, flying sometimes to cities, putting myself up so that I can even audition. So the reason years ago I just decided, and I told my agents and my manager, like, I just don't want to do this anymore because I don't even know if I want to be an actress. I don't know that I've enjoyed it that much when I have gotten a chance to do it. And I'm good at it when I do it, but every role I've ever had acting wise has just been given to me by friends. And I just,
so my point
said,
though is
not doing it anymore.
Here's something you don't do anymore.
And the
and
best
then
times
you go,
I've had, the best audition I ever had where I did get a call back was for a pilot with David Schwimmer. And I got to read with David Schwimmer and do improv with him where we just did a scene that was like basically like what the gist of the scene that I had to memorize was. And they were like, just go with it. And we had so much fun. I just like, I felt like I knew him just from watching Friends for so long and I killed it. So when I'm able to work with other people and not, auditioning is very weird because you're reading with someone who's not reading like the character,
mm-hmm.
They're just reading kind of bluntly. They're behind the camera. You have to just like mime things. It's just so awkward. And I feel like it's just not it's something that I can figure out how to, I could get good at it, but it's going to take too much work and I just didn't have time. So I just kind of said, let me just steer towards scripted and or unscripted TV and stay away from scripted until it's my time. And so I got this call randomly that said, a producer for Francis Ford Coppola wants you to screen test, which is like, You do an audition, then you get a callback, then you make you can do another callback, then you do a chemistry test, then you do a screen test. The screen test, I didn't even know what it was. I had to ask David Spade, like, what is a screen test? Like, I called Adam Ray as well because he books a lot of stuff, and I'm like, what does this entail? Am I going to be reading with someone? Because it was very mysterious, and they were like, we really don't know. It could be with someone, and but what it was reading with Francis Ford Coppola.
Wow. Now, I'm just trying to put that all into perspective because. This is the Godfather, like literally the Godfather.
Yes.
Like he created the Godfather. Like,
I've never seen the Godfather, by the way.
It's probably a good thing you haven't because you don't realize how great it is and how much
I
people
honestly
love this
went
dude.
Into it with just thinking of him as like a normal man with a flawed man, just like anyone is, but who's very, obviously has a body of work that is so impressive that I haven't even begin to delve into it because I don't have time to appreciate it. And it just, it's my mom's favorite movie, The Godfather. It's everyone's favorite movie.
This
Apocalypse
guy,
Now.
This guy saw every actor every single, male actor is because of this guy. Like,
he's
like he
a legend.
Is a legend and he's seen everyone act.
Yes.
And when you think about this,
and his daughter, Sofia Coppola, and I really do love her work.
Yeah.
You know, like he, so I got the call when we were still at Perfect Strangers and they sent over the script, and I gotta be honest, I didn't look at it until a week before the audition, because I'm just telling you that to make everyone else feel good about procrastinating. I have the chance to screen test, which means I'm like one of maybe five people being considered for this role at this point. And it means you're shooting on the cameras that you're shooting you on the cameras on like a sound stage in a very like Hollywood like setting. That's what I come to find out what it means. And a lot of times they will have the actors that they've already maybe cast or thinking about casting do it with you. But I was just so nervous about it that I thought if I don't look at it, then I don't have to. It's like when you have a messy room and you just don't go in that room.
Well, it's a scapegoat to go, well, I didn't try my hardest.
And boy, then I do everything else instead of those lines. Cleaning, running.
Oh, I thought you meant improv.
Writing my book. I did everything else except wanting to look at that. And then finally
auditioned
it got to
for another movie.
I finally pulled. I didn't even read the script. I didn't even look at it. Like, it's not like I didn't sit down to memorize it. I didn't want to look at it. So when I saw it was just 2 pages long, I was like, oh, fucking thank God. But I then memorized it, started working on it pretty hard, and started just kind of treating this a little differently than I have other auditions, where other auditions I'm just trying to be what they want. And since I've taken a maybe 4-year break from auditioning, I feel like in those 4 years, I just know who I am. I know what I'm capable of. I have self-esteem. I was thinking about Lady Gaga. Like, Lady Gaga, before she was Lady Gaga and made her career in music, she wasn't an Oscar-winning actress. She wasn't on that level. She had done a cameo in The Sopranos where she was just like, hey, you, give me a light. Like, that's all she said. So it doesn't matter what your experience is. You could just, like, wing it and be the perfect for the role. And so much about auditioning is just being what they want. And you don't know what they want, so just be you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, just Boston University. And so I thought, I'll just go in and just be myself and really try to. And I just got done watching Amy's new show, Life and Beth. And I was watching so many of my friends and Amy, like, in this show and, like, just being themselves, but like also the character, and seeing how, because I know them in real life, I can see what they did. And I'm like, I like that. They didn't try to embody this new character, invent something out of thin air. They're just themselves, but a little turned up. And then I get to LA and I start freaking out, and I'm like, I can't believe I didn't do an acting coach. Like, what am I thinking? I did that for like pilot auditions. Why didn't I do it for this Francis Ford Coppola movie? So I called up my old acting coach, and she Zoomed with me. And really helped me out and was just screaming at me to stop touching my hair because it shows insecurity. And she told me, in a movie, you don't act. You're not acting. It's not a performance. You need to really feel those feelings. So you need to find a way to think about someone that makes you feel that this person in the scene makes you feel like. Have you ever had something like this happen in your life? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, okay, that person is me. You're talking to that person. And then suddenly everything shifted, because it was like I was just myself, really. I wasn't trying to perform. And but still I was nervous as hell. I mean, I read with her in the morning, you know, an hour before I went in. So I was like, I was feeling good coming out of that. But I was also like, what do I wear? I'm going in. They did my hair and makeup first. I was in an hour of hair and makeup. Then I go in. And I'm like, I can kind of glean what the part is about, but it's just a scene that's kind of, I didn't read the whole, the movie wasn't sent to me, so.
I do think doing F-Boy, where they give you a script an hour before, you got to get in front of 30, and I know you're like, well, that's not acting. You always downplay
it. No, it's a performance, for sure.
It's definitely a performance. It's a higher version of yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to think outside yourself, and you can't let the moment, because, dude, that's the thing is, when you do F-Boy, you're in front of 150 people, and it's gotten so normal. Well, Perfect Strangers 2.
The first season of Perfect Strangers 2, the first season of Perfect Strangers 2, I was very nervous.
Agreed.
And then you just go, no, they know what they're doing asking me to do this. And so I'm not going to go in like, I don't deserve this.
My point is, that you doing that, this is the difference between how you practice guitar and then you're like, oh, now I got a guitar perform. You are putting in the fucking hours without even realizing it.
Yes.
And that's like, I love that process when you go, holy shit. Like, what? Like, you almost stumble on it. Like, oh, I'm ready for this because I've put in the hours here that can easily transfer
That's
to
what
this.
I was lamenting to Chris about not having prepared enough and how I'm like squandering this opportunity because I'm procrastinating. And he goes, the difference between 2 hours of work and 50 hours of work when you're at your level are really indiscernible because the work that you put in has been done the thousands of hours leading up to this. All of the stuff that you've done, like, yes, there would be a difference if you worked a little bit harder now, but the massive amount of work, and I often forget that like all of, because I treat each thing like singular things, and I don't think about all the stuff that came before it. And so, it was, so I get there.
Yeah.
And real quick, I just want to, we can interrupt this too, because I know you have a thing.
We can do it after the break.
This are you sure?
Yes.
I have so much to talk, and I wanted to get to Wilco too. We might not get to it on the show, but so I go in. I have no idea what this is going to entail. I get to this like soundstage with where they're shooting a bunch of movies. There's like hundreds of people like running around. There's like a wood shop where they're building sets. It's like real move. I've never been on a set like this. And they send me to this room, and I get in there, and the cast, this really nice casting director is there, and this hair and makeup lady, and the hair and makeup lady is like, well, look at who it is. Good to see you again. And I was like, oh no. Like, it was kind of like a tone of like, and I'm like, do I know you? She had a mask on. And she goes, yeah.
It's your French teacher?
Yeah. Oh my God, Madame Hood.
Ham drip.
And I'm like, and thank God, you know, when you're like, I'm episodes, so grateful I remembered someone's name, even though I worked with her so much, like, there are people I worked with every day on Not Safe that I don't remember, but she was my hair and makeup woman for Not Safe. And thank God I remembered her because I was like, Gina? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God. So I knew the woman that was doing my
hair and
makeup.
That's a good thing.
It was awesome. It made me feel so at ease. And then 2 seconds later, the producer guy who asked for me to audition for this comes in, and I had the feeling they're just looking for comedians for this because I heard about one other comedian auditioning for it. So I'm like, oh, they want a comic. And
now, how does that make you feel? Does that make you feel more free to be funny, or that?
It makes me feel, it made me feel less special because it was like, oh, they're just picking hot lady comics. They're not like, because the material that, the way that she and I, actually we're fairly similar, but I could just tell that they just, we're like, okay, I was like, I'm probably going to run into
my top five.
I could have given you a list of who I was going to see that day, but it was just me because they had scheduled us so that we wouldn't overlap. So I went in, I'm sitting there, and then the producer comes in and he says, well, I thought he was the one that like found me. And he's like, I've never seen your act. Tell me about it. What's your shtick? So I told him, and
sounds like an old timey.
He's an old guy in his late 70s, 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's awesome. He's nice. And we're talking. Then I start talking about living in St. Louis, which they were all shocked to hear. And then all of a sudden, come walking in the room behind me. I see their attention kind of go to this guy walking in the room, and I turn around, and there's Francis Ford Coppola walking up to me.
But
and
can you pick him out of a lineup? You've never seen Godfather.
No, but I
so is it just
Googled
an old
him,
man?
And I'm familiar with, even before that, I'm familiar with what he looked like.
He looks like Pavarotti,
and he also
doesn't he?
Had a, kind of, he also had a name tag on.
Did he really though?
Yeah, because you when you check in there, you know.
Okay.
So he had a little sticker on, hi, my name is, and FFC. And so he pulls up a chair and he's like, I just want to talk to you about this role. Thank you so much for being here. He was so warm. He told me he talked for me for 25 minutes probably. And I'm not exaggerating that. It was like a long time. He sat down. He told me all about the movie, all about why he wanted comedians. Cause he's like, this woman is smart. This character is a smart woman. And he goes, and I was thinking about who the smartest people are, and the smartest people I find, he goes, she's sexy and she's funny. Because the smartest women are funny. Because he goes, I worked with Robin Williams. He directed Jack. And he was like, I've never met anyone smarter than Robin Williams. And it was because he was just, smart people are funny, which I already loved him calling me smart. I was like, okay, cool. And he goes, and women who are sexy are smart. People don't think that. But they're intuitive, and they know the thing that works to make men stupid. And pretty much essentially the premise of my entire HBO special coming out is that, you know, sexy women are doing it because they know it works, and that it's calculated in a bad way.
Plain dumb. It's the idea of like
appealing to men's sense of
what's an opossum. You know, an opossum plays dead.
Yes,
That's what a hot woman does.
Yes.
They play dead.
You
so then you could have
play
sex with
up this thing that
body.
Makes men kind of
yeah.
numbed out, and mm-hmm. they give you things. And so I told him that, and he loved it. And he said the things he said to me that I loved so much. He goes, "You are perfect the way you are. Nothing about you. Don't need to do anything in there. I'm going to read with you, or we're going to do an improv scene, and then we're going to read the scene with me. We're going to make you up." So they did me up like a Roman goddess. They had all these like costume jewelry. He's like, we don't have a costume department, so wearing what you wear is fine. I asked you to bring, they asked me to bring a bathrobe too, because it's like Roman setting. And then I put on this like beautiful beaded headdress and this like crazy necklace. And then I did my makeup like Cleopatra. So I felt like so in character, which helps me so much. And he goes, "You're perfect the way you are. Whatever you do in there, there's no way you can mess this up. Your parents, for you to exist right now, it's a miracle that you exist. It's one in a 100 billion chance that you exist right now as you are, and that is perfect." And then I did the scene, and I don't care what happens, I had the best time. I improvised with him. He asked me for one, he goes, "Think of just any line from a play you've done before." And I'm like, I was, Jewish townsperson B in the Diary of Anne Frank. Yeah. I think it was, we just had to go, oh,
That's
or like,
good. Shh, did you know?
And so he was like, "Pick a line from anything, maybe your act." And I picked a Taylor Swift line. And he goes, "I'm just going to ask you to say it in a bunch of different ways. Like, okay, do it as if you are saying goodbye to your son. He's going off to war. Say it like you're reading it off a tombstone of your best friend. Say it like the Nazis are torturing you." I picked, "I might be okay, but I'm not fine at all." And so I just did it a bunch of different ways. And I fucking, and it was in a studio, a darkened studio with like tons of crew. I mean, it's like really, the spotlight's on you. And he goes, "Do I want this to camera or to you?" And he was like, "Whatever you want." And I go, "I want to do it to you." And so I looked him in the eyes and was like breaking up with him, crying over him.
Did
like,
you cry? Did you get tears?
Oh, yeah. I got tears. I did. I went there. It was crazy. I did one of them was I was being tortured by the Nazis, and I had to like pretend like I was being tortured and that my line was the code word that was going to give them the keys to the fucking universe. And so there was all these prompts, and then we read the scene together. And afterwards, he walked me out, held my hand the whole time, and said, "I'm going to say the same thing I say to my granddaughters. How did you get so beautiful?" And I said, "I think confidence. I think that's what it is. It's like I like myself now." And he said, "I think just genetics." And I was like, "Okay."
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And then he signed a bunch of stuff for my parents. It was awesome. So that was my
friend. Your parents were there?
No, my parents. Oh. He asked me if I wanted he had wine, he has a winery. And I said, "I don't drink, but my parents do, and they would love it." And so he wrote to EJ and Julie, love Francis. It was awesome. We got to go to break. So that's my story. And,
I was getting in touch, man. I was touching.
Yeah, it was awesome. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back with something special.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together, and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them, and I did wash it, and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman, and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant. Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back. We're going to get to the news in a second. But Noah, what did you want to tell me or share with me?
All right, well, I have something very fun to share with you. Let me just get my music. Okay, we're going to play a game.
Okay.
And the game is called, is it Taylor Swift or Geoffrey Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales?
Oh, my God.
Are you down for this?
Okay, did you come up with this game?
I did. And
oh my,
the best thing is that I have the quiz set up for besties if they want to play it after the show.
Oh my
Great
God.
Idea.
Amazing.
I'll link to it on our
But won't
Instagram.
They know the answers because we're about to play it?
Well, if they want to test their friends.
Oh, I got it. I love that. Oh, Noah, that's so fun. Let's do it.
I like that she had an answer for that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like her answer was perfect.
It was perfect.
I thought a lot about this. All right. So again, so you're going to
okay?
tell me.
I'm okay, but I'm not fine.
If it's Taylor Swift.
Call him drip. 3 minutes.
Or if it's the Canterbury Tales.
I read the Canterbury Tales in college. It was the one thing that I did read.
Tear?
Spark notes of. Okay.
I think Coppola's speech to you made my eyes tear.
Really?
I don't know why.
That
very...
I was perfect the way I am?
Yeah. Like, I don't
it's
know.
So sweet. I know it was the best thing you could ever say to someone. But you could say that to yourself going into anything. So keep that with you. Okay. Let's get to it.
All right. Who said
Allergies.
It? If gold rusts, what then can iron do?
Oh, that's Chaucer.
Andrew?
That's Canterbury.
Okay. You're both right. That's
ding, ding, ding.
Okay. Then they compared a woman's love to hell, to barren land where water will not dwell.
Canterbury.
Andrew.
Canterbury.
Both of you said Canterbury?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Take me home where we met so many years before. We'll rock our babies on that very front porch.
Taylor Swift.
I mean, I don't think there were porches in Canterbury Tales, so I'm going to say Taylor Swift, but I don't know what song that is.
You know what? You know what? This is great. I'll make it a little harder for you, Nikki. You have to guess the song.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So it
I
is
like
Taylor
that.
Swift. And it's
I'm going to guess it's off her first album, Taylor Swift, and it's a song I don't know.
It's from Mary's Song.
Yes, that's from her first album.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
If you're going to test me, pull from that album. I don't know it as well.
And pull from any book.
Yeah.
Okay. The man who has no wife is no cuckold.
That cuckold was very famous in Chaucer. So
yeah, that's Canterbury.
I remember learning about what a cuck was back then.
Okay. You're both correct.
Can you imagine Taylor Swift having the word cuckold
I love it.
In a song? I mean, it
you
could
thank
faster.
Tim McGraw getting cucked by Faith Hill. Yeah, I love those lyrics.
And there are no rules when you show up here. Bass beat rattling the chandelier.
Oh, it's a chandelier. That's
that is
Swift.
From This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. Yes.
That's right. Okay, you guys are at a tie.
There are no rules when you show up here. Bass beat, rattling the chandelier.
Can we do another one where it's Taylor Swift versus Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
That'd
sure.
be fun.
Do you want to come up with it right now?
Yeah. Okay, tell me, Taylor Swift or Bob Dylan. You ready?
Yeah. Shake it off. Shake it off.
Okay,
you
next
liked
one.
It.
So we can get to the news. And I pulled your body into mine every goddamn night. Now I get fake niceties.
Oh, that is definitely Taylor Swift. And that is like, every night I get fake niceties. It's from Tolerate It.
It's off of Evermore.
Give me the first letter.
Heather?
Happiness?
Happiness. Oh, yeah. There'll be happiness after you. There'll be happiness because of you. Okay, yes.
Kindled was the fire with sober face.
Canterbury.
Canterbury.
That one's close. Though,
yeah, it's good.
May these memories break our fall.
Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Neither but I don't know love. What song.
Oh, what's the song? Yeah.
What is it? I don't know.
Long Live.
Long Live! That was the song she wrote for her fans. I should know that. I'm sorry. Bad Swifty.
Neither love nor power admit arrival, even for an hour.
Chaucer. But my Netflix show should be called Bad Swifty. Have you guys seen Bad Vegan yet?
No.
It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so stupid. It could be one episode, but it's like, it's insane.
I watched this cake show.
Oh, yeah. That I hear that's like F-Boy Island for baking shows. You know, like making fun of the genre.
It is. I don't even know. It's.
Is this cake? Is it cake? Yeah. All right, Noah.
Turns out it's cake.
Okay.
The show is cake.
It will be.
You're tossing out blame, drunk on this pain, crossing out the good years.
Crossing out the good years. That's Taylor Swift, yeah. Crossing out pain, drunk on this fame.
Can we do this? Actually, sing one of the lyrics. Or sing all the lyrics as Taylor Swift, and then it'll be harder to play. Because I think it's too, it's very couplet or whatever.
But she's not going to sing Canterbury. It's like, it's.
No. But you know what I mean? I know she's not. But I'm saying it is harder when if you give it a little
forget
Swift.
Forget what that is. Drunk on this fame. What song is that?
My Tears Ricochet.
Oh, yeah. My Tears Folklore. Ricochet. Also from, is that from Folklore or Evermore?
Folklore. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. Oh, man. That one is about she. Oh, that one's a track five. All of every album, her track five is like kind of her favorite song. Mm. It's like her way of being like, this is my favorite.
Interesting to pick five. I wonder why five.
No, only track five. The track that's number five.
Yeah. I wonder why she picks five. Because a lot of people pick seven, three.
Oh, yeah. And her lucky number's 13. So I don't know. But well, maybe she doesn't
don't
have
want to put
many
out
songs.
13
yeah, yeah.
songs. You divide well, 13 out, by two.
That's too few for Taylor.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Only two
Wait,
more.
I just was confused. Wait, what do you mean?
I mean, Taylor puts out so many
songs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I have just two more. We're all here. The lights and noise are blinding.
Oh, that's Taylor.
Swift. Yeah.
Wait, hold. Andrew says the answer under Nikki, so I can't hear what Andrew says.
I said Swift.
Okay, you're right. And finally, you are the cause by which I die.
That's Canterbury.
Yeah. All right, that'll be on her last album.
You know what I mean? Like, she's too young for such a death lyric. Does she have a lot
of
death lyrics?
No, I really appreciate that quiz. That was really fun. I just like talking about, oh, yeah, she's got, My Tears Ricochet, I believe, is the one where she kind of talks about committing suicide. Not her, but, like, the character. So, yeah, she gets dark for sure. And she has, I mean, her most sad song is, it's the saddest song that's ever been, and it's called Ronan.
The grandma one.
Ronan, no. Yeah. Well, that one's sad, too. But Ronan is about a little boy with cancer who died. And it's so fucking sad. I can't even... I played it one time when I was doing an Instagram Live, and I started crying. And I, you know,
yeah.
I'm on Prestique that keeps my tears at bay.
You know I'm on no medicine right now?
No medicine? None. Whoa.
I know. I'm freeballing it out here.
Holy shit.
I know. And I shot two over par, so...
Oh, yeah. Andrew shot two over par. That means something to you. That's a big deal.
That means Muzzle I'll never tub. Be on any yeah. drug again.
Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
All right, it's Tuesday, folks. You know what that means. It is Tuesday. Is it Wednesday? No. Monday? No. Any other day? No way.
Wait, you're associating shooting two over par with not being on meds?
Too late.
Okay.
They.
I'm just saying be careful with that
no,
stuff.
No, I know. I'm just fucking around.
All right.
Am
but
I?
It was something that came out pretty quick.
So. All the swells out there.
That was an insane news
start. Okay, Noah, that goes back to you.
Okay, people on TikTok are using nasal tanning sprays and doctors are warning against it. Have you heard of this
nasal
trend?
Nasal tanning?
Yeah, so
what does that mean?
So basically they squirt some kind of nasal tanning spray that is not FDA approved and has... The products claim to have melatonin and are synthetics, which is a synthetic chemical that act like the hormones that our body creates naturally. Experts say that these compounds have far-reaching side effects like permanent darkening of the skin, nausea, vomiting, and even sexual side effects like unwanted erections.
No. Well, nausea and vomiting could be a side effect for alcohol. People still do that. So I'm going to write that one off. But like, what tanning spray up your for? What is the effect they want to get? What are they trying to do?
So yeah, basically, they're saying you spray it up your nose. It's going to create the synthetic melatonin, and you have to go out and stay in the sun to get a richer tan.
Oh, so you goes in your system for you to get tanned. So you take this through your nose.
Okay. I thought it was about tanning your nostrils, like almost like bleaching your asshole. Okay,
that's what I was.
I'm on board. Anything. I mean, I always say like if there's something. I'm obviously not on board, but if there's something that could change my skin tone, and I know that's like a weird thing to say, but if I could just do a permanent spray tan, I would.
But this involves going in the sun.
And it involves like permanent changes to your skin and going in the sun. Yeah, I don't want to do that. And also,
did you have a thing?
Melatonin. Oh, melanin. Isn't it say melanin? Because melanin, melanin's your skin.
Melatonin.
Your skin
sleep.
Tone.
It's actually, I stand corrected, it's melanotin.
Melanotin. Okay.
Looks like the news is coming back to me.
Oh, yeah. She's passing it back.
I got a lot of things.
Did you have a thing when you were like probably ninth? So you were probably in like
Yeah, tanning
six,
beds?
Seven. No. Tanning beds were huge in my high school. But
I used to do
especially
that.
In Florida, girls would go in a tanning bed, then go right to the beach. Like it was, they're all dead now.
Oh yeah, or go to the next tanning salon because you couldn't double up at the same one.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
But were kids addicted to Afrin? Remember that?
No, but I remember maybe hearing about that.
It was like a big thing. Like,
well, medicine does get you a little bit fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, people take cold medicine. And they're like, I'm out of it.
But just that feeling of
of snorting something.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, I hope people aren't doing this. It sounds like they're eating fucking...
I'm on Slippery Elm. That's my new thing for my throat. It's I read it on some... You know that New York Magazine thing that I love from The Strategist where it's like celebrities say their top 10 favorite things that they can't live without. Someone said Slippery Elm, lozenges, and drops. I put them in my water. And it really... makes my throat like so I've always been looking for something that helps my voice and other than having surgery which I need to do or you thought it was like lube or to get my ring off.
I honestly thought it was sexual.
Do you still have the ring on?
Yeah, the ring is still on. I gotta just be honest though, I have not tried to get it off again aside from just like, you know, naturally just going like and it won't budge. So I all of these things that the Windex and the
you know what I think we should do?
The string theory.
We should do it. We should set up an Insta Live.
And do all of the things.
And get the ring off.
Yeah.
Why don't
really
we do it on like Wednesday night or something? Or Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll be in New York.
Oh, shit.
I'll come back Wednesday night from New York. So we'll see. Okay, next news story.
All right, another TikTok inspired story. The hashtag Short King has more than 329 million views, with some users calling the increase in interest Short King Spring, declaring short guys the new kings.
I mean, I like it. I'm 5'9" and a quarter half.
It's such a funny, it's hilarious that's like it rhymes.
Yes.
You know, if this were in fall, we wouldn't be talking about it.
No,
it's gonna be tall fall.
Short King fall off of
tall fall.
High stool. Yeah. wait, why?
Trying to reach the cookies in the cabinet.
These kind of fads go and they come.
Listen,
like,
it's not
a horrible thing.
I love celebrating short men and not disparaging them and having them be sex symbols, because Zendaya is towering over.
They're saying maybe that's where it's coming.
Is that where it's coming from?
Tom Holland.
Yes, Tom Holland.
That makes sense. Well, great. You know what? It really shouldn't matter. I mean, I'm very blessed that I am hype blind, and I just don't see height, and it just does not matter to me. A guy being never mattered. What? What do you mean height?
You're hype blind. You don't see them because you're not.
Oh yeah, like I just don't know. I've said this before. Why? I just don't know when a man is tall or not. Like I can be like, okay, yeah, but it doesn't register in me this way some people do, or it doesn't. You know, I went to my freshman year dance. The first dance I went to, I went with the shortest boy in the school, who was probably shorter than you at that time. Like, how short were you?
I was second shortest in my grade.
Yeah,
it was me and Clay Elliott, and we were really firing. I'm taller than Clay now.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I ended up growing. He actually shrunk.
It's crazy that you ended up growing. I really do think a lot of your height stuff was like your parents' divorce.
Of why it stunted
like stunted you. Yeah.
Well, my brothers aren't that tall. They're taller than me, though.
It affects people differently.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially because they wouldn't let me leave a crib and they would only feed me turkey every
year. You eventually caught up, but like, do you think that how old were you when your parents got divorced?
13. Which is apparently the worst age.
And that's when you're supposed to be growing. That's like your growth spurt starts. And when did you start growing? Not till you were like 16?
But this, 17.
Yeah. So it seems like something, I would guess something traumatic happened during that time that would just make you have late puberty. Like you wouldn't have gotten your period till 17 if you were a girl.
Well, I remember my dad said, I will stay with your mom if your pubes stay inside your body.
And that's why you're checking them every day in the front, in the backyard, in the sun. All right, let's get to the next news story.
Was I going to ask about that, though? Wait, can I ask one more thing? Wait, what were we just talking about? Because I had a question for you.
Short fling. Short king.
Oh,
short king
spring. Isn't it crazy that all it takes is one tall actress to change a whole thing, though? It just blows. Like, people are and so the idea that people won't attack the stage.
Oh, for Chris Rock punch?
Yeah. It's like.
No, you just need one example and it makes it okay. And Will Smith, and by the way, he wasn't admonished for it. It would be another thing if there was like a repercussion for what happened.
Well, we don't know. We haven't checked the news yet. He probably got another Oscar.
I know. We're still talking on, this is Monday, by the way. So yeah, maybe I don't want him to take away his Oscar. I mean, it's a separate issue. But like the fact that he was still sitting there afterwards, like really surprised me. Just as a comedian, when you get heckled or especially if you get assaulted, that person is being pulled out.
Not if he's Will Smith.
I just want to. I can't wait to find out what happened behind the scenes. I loved that picture during the commercial break where his publicist was crouched down next to him.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
no,
Tiffany
I did
Haddish
say, yeah.
was talking to Jada.
I can't wait for Chris Rock to talk about this for 30 minutes. He's going to fucking.
Yeah.
Oh, my. It's going to be. You know, Chris Rock talked shit about Jada Pinkett a couple years ago.
Yes.
When she wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I think it added up.
Sure. But.
So I think Will was like waiting. For him to say something.
I don't think he had any plan to do what he did. Even though he did tweet, like, we're bringing the chaos tonight. Or, like, that was the caption for his Instagram beforehand when it was just, like, pictures of them getting ready for the Oscars or, like, you know, like, on their way or something. It said something about, like, bringing the chaos.
I joked that Kevin Hart's like, man, thank God I made those gay jokes 15 years ago.
All right.
Maybe Will Smith has a new album coming out.
Oh, yeah.
It's all a big conspiracy.
Who does?
Will Smith. Oh, yeah. I'm surprised Andrew wasn't like, I just think it's probably
The UFOs.
Smith trying to get.
It's probably, yeah, my tinfoil hat.
I did love the tweet with the blinky thing where it was like Will Smith trying to make people forget, you know, the Men in Black.
Oh, yeah.
That makes you forget what happened. I liked that. All right. Let's take a quick break and come back with Why Do I Care?
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant. Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Why do I care?
All right, why do I care? All right, I think you do care about this. Taylor Swift will receive an honorary doctorate of fine arts by New York University on May 18th and will also be speaking at the school's commencement at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, those lucky grads.
She's got the official award that she's going to receive. The title is Doctor of Fine Arts.
Oh, my God. She's going to be a doctor.
Yeah.
Dr. Taylor
Doctor-ish.
Swift. Doctor-ish. No, I mean like that Dr. Cosby. That's he made people call him doctor when he got like one of these fake doctorates from
know,
a
so
university.
Should we go based off that it's real?
No, but I mean like you can get away with calling her that now. Like,
no, she I know.
She's not going to do that, but I'm sure it'll be a talking point. You know, that's awesome. And
I think this is a way for
it's
NYU.
It's just a way for NYU to get her to talk. Yeah. Their, you know, but that's still, I mean, there's.
I hate being a negative person
like
that.
There's always like an exchange of things, though. Yes. Like, you do things because you might get something out of it. Like, you know, it makes sense.
Did she go to college? I'm not trying to...
No.
I mean, that's...
Wow. But I always say that whoever just reads a ton of books, just do that instead of going to... I mean, you know, get your degree or whatever, but the smartest people are people who just read a lot. Whenever I'm like, wow, that person is so smart, it always comes out that they read a lot. Always. It never isn't that way.
And if you're lazy, just don't go to college, sell 100 million records, and you could be a doctor too. You know what I mean? That's what it shows kids. That's all you got to do. You know? You could do it too.
Oh my God. She's so
I think like, aren't they teaching a class too on her lyrics?
Yeah. That seems like ridiculous. But you know, it is fun to have. I mean, it's fun to analyze art. There's tons of college classes. Like I took guitar. I took like body movement. There's always those ones that are just kind of like, just fun and get headlines. And if you know, if you have Swifties out there that are
trying to go to college, you're going to get a lot of applicants at your university if you offer a Swiftie class.
Yes.
So it's, yeah, it's everyone's doing.
Everyone's winning.
Things are done. It's rare that things are done just for the sake of being.
Yeah, you could take it right in between TikTok and Pinterest.
Pinterest.
All right, I don't know. Is that a thing?
Pinterest?
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, like, those are the classes now at college.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
This morning I got TikTok 101. They're teaching me.
I mean, that would be actually a better skill to have than most degrees, is just knowing how to quickly learn a dance.
Gary V.
Okay, let's go to our Tuesday segment, Reddit Dump.
Karaoke mode.
This is your Reddit Dump. I mean, I'm on Reddit every fucking night, and I just wanted to share some things that I've found. Let's see. Oh, I loved this. This was from True Off My Chest, the subreddit where people just say things that are off their chest. Someone said, 3 years after becoming disabled, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. Nearly 3 years to this day, as a 19-year-old, I was at my friend's birthday party when I smoked what I thought was weed. It wasn't. It was some synthetic plastic shit. I blacked out after a head spin, then woke up a four-hour flight away in a hospital with no idea what's going on. Turns out I jumped off the fifth-story balcony, snapped my left humerus, four vertebrae burst, blah, 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 like all of this awful things. I'm just trying to make this a little bit shorter. I went from being a 19-year-old that didn't think about others to someone that can empathize and understand other people's problems. All I want to do is help. I won't be able to walk again or go to the toilet normally, but in the last 3 years, I got engaged, got into our Wheelchair National Tennis Academy, and I'm about to start a business that helps young people with disabilities accept themselves. I'm proud of who I've become, and I wouldn't change anything. That was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
For someone to have that much perspective already. You think it's a girl? You automatically think it's a girl?
I
went he. That's so funny.
Where did you go?
I don't know why I picked he. It's kind of like when you just think.
She?
I don't know.
I thought she.
It's unclear.
Or they, I guess. But
it's a he.
Oh.
Or it's someone who obviously, you know, identifies as a man based on their little avatar thing.
Does it show who his wife is? I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just wondering.
No.
I'm always amazed by the people that like marry someone. I mean, that their dick might not work. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm always wondering what's going on there.
Honestly, you do not need a dick that works.
I guess
to
not.
Have a good time in bed. You can fucking ride their knee, first of all.
But they,
you could hump their knee. They could, and they have ways that disabled people can have sex. There's sex swings. There's fun stuff. And even if he doesn't have a working dick, what do lesbians, people always with this argument, how do lesbians get off then?
I think it's awesome. I think, you know, short kinks.
Short King Summer. This is from Old School Cool. In 1955, author John Steinbeck wrote a letter to Marilyn Monroe asking for an autographed photo for his nephew. He wrote, "Dear Marilyn, in my whole experience, I have never known anyone to ask for an autograph for himself. It is always for a child or an ancient aunt, which gets very tiresome, as you know better than I. It is therefore with a certain nausea that I tell you that I have a nephew-in-law who lives in Austin, Texas, whose name is John. He is his foot in the door of puberty, but that is only one of his problems. You are the other. I know that you are not made of celestial ether, but he doesn't. A suggestion that you have normal functions would shock him deeply, and I'm not going to be the one to tell him. On a recent trip to Texas, my wife made the fatal error of telling John that I had met you. He doesn't really believe it, but his respect for me has gone up even for lying about it. Now I get asked for all kinds of silly favors, so I have no hesitation in asking one of you. Would you send him, in my care, a picture of yourself, perhaps in pensive, girlish mood, inscribed to him by name, and indicating that you are aware of his existence? He is already your slave. This would make him mine. If you do this, I will send you a guest key to the ladies' entrance of Fort Knox, and furthermore, I will like you very much. Yours sincerely, John Steinbeck." I just liked that. I read all the comments. They followed up on this one. His nephew never got the photograph that signed.
What did you like about it?
Oh.
I liked how funny it was and how well written, obviously, by John Steinbeck. But I liked, you know, honestly, when this comes to this stuff, when it comes to a celebrity doing a favor for someone else or going out of their way to do something, all it does is it really just goes, it makes me like you a lot. Like, doing these, like, I liked that part where he says, and furthermore, I will like you very much. It was just so honest. And And I also like just, it was just a beautiful, it was just cool to read something written by one of the greatest American authors that is more of a casual thing. And that was laced with hilarity and him also kind of, you know, putting his tail between his legs to ask Marilyn Monroe when he's John Steinbeck. It was just, it has all the things I like.
No, I enjoyed it. I do think it's interesting, like if it wasn't John Steinbeck, to me it sounds like a horny man using a nephew to get out his shit.
Right.
Doesn't it? Like if you really like listen to it, like he's like, no. And my boy really loves you. He really, he's just going through puberty. He wants a hot, pensive photo with your tits out. Like he really like, yeah.
And
like
his
he,
son has the same, or his nephew has the same name,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, little really Johnny, is. Like it's yeah. his dick.
I
don't
just
believe
liked it.
I think it was his penis. It's not his
John
nephew.
John Steinbeck, was he a homosexual? Because to me, it sounds like a gay man.
Oh, well.
Asking. It's that's how much unsexual it seemed to me, but I don't know.
I was thinking woman.
But it did make me think of my Wilco weekend, because I'll get into
WW?
It. My Wilco weekend of going on Saturday to film Carpool Karaoke with Jeff Tweedy, Glenn Cochi, and John Stierrett. Three band members from Wilco, and Jeff was driving, I was shotgun. And if you don't know, I'm just like a gigantic Wilco fan. They're up there with Taylor Swift and Dave Matthews for me. And he is just I told him in the car, like, you know, my first obsession was Dave Matthews in high school, and I got into Wilco in college because as a Dave Matthews fan, like, I feel like it if you like Dave Matthews, you have a good taste in music, but it doesn't have like the poetic, like it doesn't have the emotional maturity maybe that I was looking for that Wilco really brought. And Wilco, it just has meant so much to me. So it was, I got to meet my hero. He was not disappointing at all. He was the greatest. He was so warm and kind, and we had the best day together. And I brought my parents along too, and they are now friends with Jeff and his wife, Susie. After we wrapped, they invited us to their loft where they record everything to just go hang out. And John came too, John Stierrett. Glenn had to go pick up his son. But like, they were all just going to like disperse and leave. Like, we didn't have to still keep hanging out. And they invited us to go to their loft where they record everything. They have hundreds of guitars, all their merch, all of the coolest like posters, and like it was a Wilco museum. And my parents are obsessed with Wilco too. And now my mom is texting with Susie, Jeff's wife. We are great friends with her family. Jeff even made a joke, it was a vacation with my family. My dad and mom made me so proud. They were so cool and just made me look cool. Chris was also there and did the same thing of just making me look like we just all wanted to be friends.
Was it hard for your dad not to want to, like, I could see your dad just grabbing an acoustic.
No, he even got behind Glenn's drums because Glenn was like, you got to check out my new drum set. It's the one I've always wanted. I would love for you to play him. And my dad is a good drummer, but he even was like, I feel ridiculous. But my dad got to, like, you know, talk a little guitar with Jeff.
Yeah, yeah, that's just hamming it up.
Jeff invited me to come to this. Jeff and Susie invited me to come to Solid Sound. It's their festival that they do a music and comedy festival in May, and I'm going now. And they also said, never worry about tickets the rest of your life. Like, can you believe that I me and my family have like, we're friends with like our heroes. It's
weird.
Nuts. And he signed my guitar. And this was one thing that I wanted to like show. I haven't looked at it yet because I didn't want to watch him while he was signing it because it was so awkward. I hate when, you know, sometimes people look at while I'm writing them something and I'm just like, oh, I'm going to see their face go from like, nice to like, okay, you're taking up too much room. Like, I just write my name, bitch.
Did he sign Dave Matthews?
Hilarious. well, I'm thinking this guitar might be broken because it fell out of the car and I haven't opened it yet. So I'm thinking it might have a fucking crack in it.
Wait, you still haven't looked yet?
No, I'm too scared to look. Too Nikki. Oh, here it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I haven't looked yet. I just put it in the bag because I was like, I can't
take
it.
Oh, that's the one you got in Mexico.
Yes. It says to Nikki.
Oh, man, that's cool.
Our best friend. And then John signed it, Glenn signed it, and Jeff signed it.
It's funny you did the bestie kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was.
We should hang that in here.
Truly. Oh, no. I'm going to play that the rest of my life. And he also, I got his book, How to Write One Song. And he signed this. He signed my other book, too, but I think I lost it in the car.
Oh, this
he said,
isn't
to
his
Nikki,
biography?
Such a great day. Thank you. And he also signed his biography, too. And he signed a bunch. I had him sign all my depression pills. And all the bottles, because he's a depressed, anxious guy too. So it's like kind of like a bit, but it was just so fun. Any questions? We got a final thought.
You sang with him. Your feelings on singing with your third, I guess, favorite artist?
Oh, my God.
Not your third.
It was kind of a bummer because right before we started singing, we did this bit where I was, like, screaming. It was, like, a really funny bit.
Oh, so but it hurt your voice a little?
I fucking was hoarse the entire day.
But it kind of gave you... Oh, but when you sang...
And couldn't hit any of the notes and, like, it's fine. I got away with it.
You probably sounded cooler.
But it was... There was a moment where I got to sing my favorite song, She's a Jar, with him and play it. And I even told him like how much it meant to me. And he...
This is the funeral song?
Yeah, it's the funeral song. I even talked about that. Yeah. Like my friend knows that that's the song that is supposed to be played.
I wrote you. I said, remind him to play it live at your funeral, which implies
that's so
that
funny.
You're going to die
before him. Gladly. He's such a kind person, but
so wait, so go through the singing.
To say that,
so
like,
how nervous were you to sing?
You know, there's a ton of, he's driving, there's tons of cameras up. We're having really good conversations in between songs, and I saved She's a Jar for like kind of the end because I was like, I don't even want to make him like watch me how obsessed I am with the song, because it's also a song that I told him like I only listen to like alone. I don't really like share it with other people. It's just like it's like masturbatory in a way. Like it's just so personal to me.
Yeah.
And I was even like, I don't even know if I want you here for this, Jeff. Like, even though you said, you know, like, it was that much. But then it started and we were just driving around Chicago and I really did the best I could in that moment to forget I was on TV, to forget about what I was doing later on in terms of, like, the sketch we had to shoot that I was kind of nervous about, whether I had been funny today, all these things that are swirling in my head. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, just fucking... soak this up. You are singing your favorite song that means so much to you with the man who wrote it. And I like tried, I just, you know, I just was in it. And afterwards, you know, one of the producers from the show who's done a bunch of these said to me, like, you, the She's a Jar moment was one of the most insane things I've ever watched. Like, I've never seen someone go get that emotional on this show or like actually have that kind of respond, like, for mm-hmm. it, whatever it was that I let go of, like, you could tell that something came, the sheen, the like the me trying to be
yes
anything came away, and it was just like I just wanted to just feel it and just never forget it, like really wanted to screenshot it in my mind forever. And it is in my mind forever, even though so much of that day was just, it was just the coolest.
No, so I you're mean, singing to kind of go through, because like, are you looking at him? He's singing with you?
He would not look over at me. I think he was just too, you know, he was driving, first of all.
Oh, so he's driving.
So he's driving. So it wasn't, I there were times where I was like, do I make eye contact with him? Should we sing together? But I think it was,
So the artist drives and then he asks you what your favorite songs are?
No,
and then
it was
you
like,
sing
it,
to him
was,
or is it?
No, it was kind of like me like running, like I was kind of like steering the conversation.
Okay.
And kind of, because he was driving and like it's his music, and I felt like I was the one that brought him there and had so much to, so I kind of set him up to talk about music and stuff, and also shared my own stories. But we just had a fucking great time, and Glenn and John were so goddamn nice, and like these guys are my friends, like they're truly, I love them so much. And it's just so often you meet people that mean so much to you and they just aren't what you want them to be, but he was just such a normal guy, and the way that they were hospitable to my family afterwards, and I kept being like, oh my God, they probably just want to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Like, we were at their studio afterwards for 2 hours, just shooting the shit, talking and laughing, and they're going to watch the reality show. They're so excited about it. When I finally said like goodbye, we were like giving our hugs, and I, you know, just walked up to Jeff and I was like, yeah, you know, like that, we had hugged a bunch at that point because we rapped and all these things. And at that point, like, he was just like, I feel like we're friends now, right? And it was just like, you know, there was a joke of like, oh, we're best friends now and I'm in Wilco and all these kind of things. But it cemented that of like, our families have combined together.
Yeah.
and we're just
people
that are
hanging
out. What
a beautiful thing to bring your family to and like, I don't know, trust in them in a big moment in your life. That means a lot to them. That isn't just about you performing. It's like a together thing that,
yeah.
I feel like there's something with your family that I've noticed, like, you were the star, like, your whole thing was about, like, kind of becoming a star to, like, show mom and dad that you can do it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think as we get older, we're like, oh, no, like, It's a group, like, it can be a group thing. Yes. I don't have to be the star. We're all the star, and we're actually and more of a star made together. Me. Yeah.
And they it's, did make they made me thing. Look so cool, and they yeah. are so funny. And
they like, are cool, too. Like, they're just cool people.
They're so cool. I'm so proud of them yeah. because there's so many times that your parents can be cringe and, like, your parents can let you down, but I'm just really just so, I just told them afterwards, like, you, they, because they were so thankful and just like, I can't believe you involved us. I'm like, I can't believe that I have parents that I would ever want to involve with yeah. my favorite band and like be like meet my parents and know that that's not going to be a burden to them, even though it might sound as soon as you meet my parents, it's just like you're relaxed. It might seem like, oh, parents, oh, I got to like kind of
your
sit
dad's
up straight.
Like a like putting on like a, I don't know, like a weighted blanket in front of a fire.
Aww,
like I feel like
that's
and then
so
you
nice.
Get so hot that you can't take the blanket off and you die.
And it, the blanket's talking about Cincinnati a lot.
No, dude, your parents like you. They put
great.
You at ease.
They
that's like the
they
one
made
thing
me who I am. Of like, if anyone ever thinks I'm cool or nice or friendly or personable, or you know, that's all from them. I realized like after this, especially was just how just everything I was in that car before they met my parents and how much like we all got along. Mm-hmm. It was just, oh, it was just more of that. You just saw where it just all made, I could see kind of them all doing the math of like, oh, this is where she gets it from. Cause it was just, my parents are just so awesome. And also my boyfriend, just so proud to like, this was the first time I'm like, this is my boyfriend to like,
yeah.
you know, and it was just, I was so proud to have him cause he was so cool. And we're all such big Wilco fans that it was just, it was, one of the it was the best day of all, of my mom and dad's life for sure, outside of like, you know, kids and being born and
I'm just imagining though
meeting
like
Conan
the kind of psychopath musician that like he it's your dream and you bring your parents and he's still a piece of shit in front of your own family. It would
I mean,
be like there are musicians that could still step up and be that.
There are people I don't want to meet because I care about their art so much that I don't want to be let down. But this was,
yes,
I just knew
no.
I wouldn't be because I just know.
They seem like Chicago people through and through, like that Midwest, like, I don't know, just good people.
They man. Were it's, they it's, were awesome. And now my parents are friends with the Tweedies. I mean, it's just unreal. And it's the greatest gift I can give them is like allowing my parents to have a taste of this kind of like life. Of meeting these their heroes because my parents are just as cool as those people. They just chose a different path in life. And oftentimes so many people are. That's why like I don't even like to put people who made it on a pedestal because we're so many people could make it if they had the means to mm-hmm. make it. And I just am one of those people that had the means to make it. So like I'm never like, oh, I can't be friends with people that aren't famous because everyone, you all could be famous. People who listen to the show are like some of the greatest, most interesting people I'll ever meet. 100 times more interesting, thousands of times
I'd
more interesting.
I'd much rather
than
talk about your life than my life.
Yes.
Like everyone I meet in St. Louis, I'm like, no, I don't want, you don't have to, comedy. Yeah, it was fine, whatever. But like, how's it working at Boeing? Like,
yes.
Like with these plane crashes recently, like there was a huge crash in China.
Really?
Like,
oh,
and like
yeah.
I'm just finding out from someone that actually like works at Boeing, like the inner
what?
Thing, and,
oh,
and I'm like, oh, this is what I'm into. This is cool, man. This is like good shit. Like,
but
obviously
I just think
it's
that
sad.
People
but,
think that showbiz people that are become famous are somehow more special. It's just like no, they just got lucky. And there's tons of people that deserve to be in that world and like kind of upheld as like so cool and better than us or whatever. Some you know we saw it at the Oscars. These people get away with everything because they're fucking famous.
Jeff Tweedy just slaps your dad.
Oh, my God. He'd love it. He'd love
he
it.
Would love it.
So make sure you check that out when it airs. I don't know when it's going to air. Carpool Karaoke with me and Wilco because that was just an extraordinary day. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. I'll be in New York tomorrow and then we'll be back here in studio on Thursday. But we'll have two more shows this week. We love you so much. Thank you for listening to the show. Don't be kuh and Jack McBrayer. Are you asleep?
I think so.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.